Yo, 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 welcome to the Bros Who Think podcast. My name is Lyndon Burton, a.k.a. Youngboy D-Wits, a.k.a. the People's Champ, a.k.a. Beard Gang is in the motherfucking building. And this is episode 44, ladies and gentlemen. We were honored to have DJ Wonder on this episode. We pre-recorded this episode, which you will hear in a little bit. I just wanted to take this time to say thank you to all the fans who've been subscribing to us for. Please remember to subscribe, rate, review to the Bros Who Think Network. Thank you to all the fans who've been checking out Primetime. And for those who haven't yet, check out our sports show, Primetime. Comes out every other Monday, and we've been giving you all kind of extra content, whether that's NBA playoff preview or draft reviews, whatever the case may be. Primetime's dropping a lot of stuff, so go out and support them. But without further ado, the reason why you're here, the interview with the legendary DJ Wonder. Drum roll, please. Hello, good afternoon, and you're tuning into the Bros Who Think podcast, and we're joined today with a very special guest. We're joined today with DJ Wonder, the radio DJ for Sway's Universe, but not only that, he's done so much in his career. This dude is a hip-hop legend to the core. He's a radio legend, and we're honored to have DJ Wonder on the Bros Who Think podcast today. How you doing today, Wonder?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's an honor, man. It's a privilege and an honor to have you. How you doing today?
I'm tired, like every day. No, I'm good. Everything's cool.
Wait, that's true. So what's a daily schedule like for Wonder? Just with the radio and everything?
I wake up around 5:30 in the morning. Our show is on from 8 to noon Eastern time. So I get off at noon, and I stick around and do paperwork and worry about guests and stuff for the show, and get home around 3 o'clock or 3:30, and then usually fall asleep, then wake up, and if I have to DJ, I'll go out and DJ, and then come home at 2 or 3 in the morning, and then fall asleep until 5:30 again. It starts all over.
And do it all over. Jeez. That's so hectic. And I know you used to produce music, and I know you still produce music because you just released a tape about a year ago, around that time. And how, with making music, how hard is that with the schedule that you're in right now?
I mean, it's not that bad, just because you can do everything from your own house now. And then if you ever have to get anything or take anything to a studio or whatever, that's the only time you have to really get out of your own laptop. So it's not that bad. But yeah, I mean, there's no time to really do a lot of different hobbies or anything else that I have other than just work, man. It feels like working multiple jobs, but it's fun. It's all fun, so can't complain about it.
That's the thing, as long as you're doing what you love. Well, I'm excited. Let's get into it. I want to start with the beginning of your career, because I did my research, and I found out that you worked with Star and Buck Wild. I had no idea about that, man.
Oh, where are you guys based out of? What city?
We're based out of Lafayette, Louisiana.
And so you're familiar with Star and Buck Wild down there?
Yeah, man, through YouTube and everything.
Yeah. So, yep, that's the first internship that I had, and first job that I had really was working with them, and it was a crazy experience. It definitely shaped my future of my radio career, because it was like being thrown into the fire. Like, there was no room for error. You had to make sure everything was perfect, pretty much, and you couldn't mess up. But I mean, they're completely nice guys or anything. It's not like a persona that people might think if they ever have seen clips from the Star and Buck Wild show. Like, they're not really like that. They're really good dudes, especially Star. But just me as a perfectionist, I didn't want to mess up. So it definitely set me on the path for any other show that I worked on.
I'm glad you said what you said about Star, because a lot of people would get the interpretation, whether that's from Everyday Struggle, what he's been doing, or from just his days as a shock jock, that his on-air personality would come off-air. So it's interesting to hear that you say that off-air, these dudes are just normal dudes and they're good dudes. So that's what's up, man. What is some of the craziest memories you had working on the Star and Buck Wild show?
Oh, man. Really, it's just all, good memories about, me first you know, dreaming about being in either entertainment somehow. I went to school for film production, so I was really like a film major going throughout school. Okay. And then, but I would find myself, I was working at Miramax Films, which is Harvey Weinstein's company. And then, but it was an internship, but I would find myself in the mailroom with the mailroom dude listening to Hot 97, which was the station starting Buck Wildron. And just thinking about radio. I was doing radio in college as kind of like a hobby. I was doing it like every weekend instead of partying and everything. I'd be at the radio station doing a show or two shows. And so, when I finally got that internship, at Hot 97, it was like, am I going to do this? Cause I'm majoring in film. So am I going to waste my time doing something in radio that I'm not even going to do? But I was like, if I do get the Hot 97 internship, I'm going to take it. Cause that's like the one place I wanted to work at. So from there, finally getting it and then being able to work, with those guys on the morning show, it was kind of like a little dream come true. I got to see people like who I'd grown up listening to, whether or celebrities or whatever that I had never seen before. I'm coming from Delaware. That's where I'm originally from. So I'd never seen anything like this. I had no family in the entertainment industry. I'd never even been in a city, in any kind of city, for more than a day at a time, basically. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you're just like fresh to this.
Yep. So it's all good memories, man. But nothing like super shocking during the Star and Buck Wild time. I think more shocking stuff came when Sway was actually came on right after him as one of the hosts that they had. They were thinking about putting on Hot 97. That's the first time I started working with him right after Star and Buck Wild left. And I probably saw more crazy stuff with Sway, who was very like on the TV being righteous and stuff. At the time, he was known as like a righteous dude, but we saw it was almost like a Howard Stern environment when Sway started over there. It was real fun.
Real. Was that because before I, because I'm going to backpedal a little bit after this next question, but not to get off of this Sway point, was this Sway into like the MTV days when it was heavy TRL? Was this around that era?
Yeah, so Sway started on MTV in the year 2000, and this was around 2004.
Okay.
So yeah, he was just kind of like getting started. I mean, he'd already had an expansive career before that, like on radio and as an MC and stuff. But as for coming to New York and being on MTV and stuff, yeah, it was just like him kind of getting started.
Word, word. Well, let me backtrack a little bit because it's crazy that you said you're studying film and you're working for Miramax, and just fast forwarding to today, just looking how you choosing radio, how crazy is it looking back that did you, like, basically what I'm asking is, how crazy is it looking back knowing everything we know today about Harvey Weinstein just from those days? Does it shock you in any way?
I mean, not really. Like what I do is I read books nonstop, like on hair metal and like, rock stars and stuff from like the 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever. And I mean, that's the lifestyle, man. Like things today are just called, different things than they were back then. People were a lot more willing to do things with people. Who knows, man? I just felt like it was all part of the industry and I wasn't even clocking for any of that. I was just worried about getting my foot in the door.
Yeah,
so
you know what I mean? 100%. No,
it is what it is, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'm not stressing to anybody. Anybody's got issues, whatever, but I'm not even looking at it like that. It was a good experience.
For sure.
He was cool with me. Anytime I had any kind of interaction with him, he was known as kind of like, tyrant around there, like you couldn't mess up, or you know, people were worried about getting fired and stuff. But it seemed cool to me, man. I don't, and all the people that worked under him that were my like mentors and stuff while I was there were always nice people. So
that's what's up, man. Well, yeah, I just wanted to backtrack and just touch on that before we move forward. But let's move forward. So from Star and Buck, while you worked with Sway, talk me from the transition from at Hot 97 to how you get to Sirius for working with Cypher Sounds.
Okay, so Star and Buck Wild was first, then Miss Jones came in. Oh no, excuse me. Then they tried out a couple people. One was Sway, who I work with. Then they brought in Joe Budden and tried him out for a while. I worked with him. And then they brought in Miss Jones. She ended up staying there. I worked with her for a little bit, and then I always had to do two jobs basically to survive. excuse me. The first job was doing the morning show stuff. And then as soon as that was over, the usual position was like 9 to 6 or whatever in the other part of the company. So, but I would be able to come in at 10 o'clock because I have to do the morning show. So 10 o'clock would hit. Then I would go to the sales department for Kiss FM, which was an R&B station, which is not around anymore.
Okay.
Excuse me. Hold on 1 second. Man. I'm like cracking up. Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Fix your time, man.
All right. There we go. Voice should be better now. All right. So I would do that. I would wake up at like 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock, whatever, go to the first job. Then, but it's in the same building. Walk over to the sales department and be an assistant in the sales department until 6 or 7 at night, and then go home and start over again. So, two jobs, not making that much. Eventually, my boss, who was the person that kind of hired me for the internship at Hot 97, his name's Reggie Hawkins. He started over at Sirius. He left Hot 97 and went over there to work on their Hip Hop Nation or whatever it was called at the time. Maybe they called something else. This was when it was just called Sirius, before Sirius and XM
merge. Okay, then. Yeah. This is pre-merger. Okay, for sure.
Yep. So he finds out that Eminem is going to be starting a radio station. They're going to bring on Cypher Sounds, who I had already known from Hot 97, as the morning show talent over there. And they need a producer. And like, honestly, it was like my kind of like goal at that time. All I wanted to do was just produce a show. I didn't even care about being on the radio. I didn't care about DJing or any of that stuff. I just wanted to like be able to work in a creative environment and get a paycheck from it. Word. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You wanted to actually have your fingers into the production of the show and how it went.
Exactly. So that opportunity opened up. They needed a producer for the first show on Eminem's channel. And they called me over and the interviews and all that. And luckily I was able to get that. So yeah, man. So starting at Sirius, Cypher was the first morning show host there. Then we needed somebody to do news or whatever. We brought on this girl named Angela Yee, who was kind of like working with Paul Rosenberg, who's Eminem's manager, his clothing line, Shady Limited. She had worked with like Wu-Tang. She was managing GZA and working at Shady Limited. So she had never done radio before. So between myself, Cypher, and my boss Reggie Hawkins, we kind of like showed Angela the ropes on how to do radio. Cypher ended up leaving and going back to Hot 97 when there was an opening for the morning show there. They brought Angela up as the host for the show I was working on. So then stayed with her for a while. We started a lip service podcast on Sirius, not podcast, a lip service show on Sirius. Angela, as you know, eventually went on to do the Breakfast Club. So she had the opportunity to leave. So she bounced. Then I was doing the morning show with Sean Jaffier, who was called the Emoticon for a while, just kind of as like a layover until they found somebody for real, for real. And then eventually Sway came along in 2011. So that's kind of like the timeline of what happened. Yeah.
Word. Well, I want to break that timeline down, because all of the names you said, you have worked with or been alongside of everybody today who is popular in media, whether that's Angela Yee to even Joe Budden. Could you just talk about both of just your experience with those people, and just to see how their careers have blossomed, with Angela Yee running one of the hottest morning shows with The Breakfast Club, and then seeing Joe Budden do his media career go left from being a rapper to just switching to media. But a lot of people have said that this was always from the jump, we knew Joe Budden was talented at this because of his stint at Hot 97. So I just want to get your thoughts on just those two for a brief moment.
Okay. Yeah. Joe was, he was kind of like around my age. So it was kind of weird working with him. Like, he was wild. I mean, I guess I should have been wild at the same time, like going to clubs and stuff and just kind of like rolling in and doing his thing. But he was cool. He was very passionate about it. And sometimes he'd be mad tired, but he would still get through the day or whatever. And I've known him for a while, and as he's progressed, whether it's through rapping or doing interviews that he's done with us, whether it's with Sway or Cypher or anybody else, he was always cool, man. Like, he's very intelligent, and I think he's where he wants to be. I mean, yeah. Honestly, like, who wants to be a rapper anymore? You know, it's like a very short-lived career. So I think he's been able to have great longevity in this industry, which is hard to do. As far as Angela, she's literally the hardest working, like, person that I've worked with so far, probably. I mean, Sway is, of course, very hardworking, and he's the greatest. Cypher as well. But Ange was kind of like new to it, so she didn't have any kind of like background coming into it where you have to like kind of respect her as a legend. It was kind of like she had to work her way up, and she did it really quickly because she would stick around and do everything that she had to do with no complaining. She would always show up to work, not in sweatpants or looking crazy. And this is even before we were videotaping every day. We would videotape maybe one or two interviews a week.
Real.
But she would come to work every day looking, you know, dressed up and everything because she wanted to be professional. She would stay after, and we would go do interviews in the park and stuff, or on the street interviews, and she'd be down to do it no matter what. Like, she's just really hungry. So I believe that is what carried her so far in this industry.
Word up, man. Yep. That's what's up. Well, I want to talk about some of the moments on you and Angela's show. Being that I'm from Louisiana, how was it when BG came on hours after his arrest, man? I watched the video. They have one of the videos on YouTube where you're there that day, and just talk about that situation, that interview that y'all did.
BG, this was during on Angela's show on Sirius?
Yeah, on Sirius, yeah.
I don't even remember. Dog, there's so many interviews I don't remember. That one does not stick out to me. I really don't remember it. Maybe you can refresh me, man. Well, I have no idea.
That was right. That was right after his arrest. And I remember Angela was talking to him about how just what was his thought process going into the arrest. And he was talking about how he got arrested at a daiquiri shop and how it was not his fault. And then that was basically the conversation. I just wanted to see what was your take from just being around BG pre him going to jail, and just what was the vibe of that?
Dog, I really don't remember. But if I do, I know I haven't had any bad run-ins with anybody from Cash Money. So I think it was probably good to go, man. There's only a couple things that really stand out to me from working with Angela, like interview-wise. I mean, every interview was dope. But, I mean, the biggest one that we ever had was Drake, like, discovered him basically before anybody else. Drake and Nicki Minaj. We had Nicki Minaj on Lip Service. I think she was on like K Slay and our show, the Lip Service show, which was the kind of like spinoff of the morning show, and before any other show. And then Drake, we had a segment kind of like a, you know, trying to get into the game thing, kind of like what we do on Sway's show now, getting the game. And he was calling in from Canada. She knew him from her boy was like managing him. He was just known as an actor. Like, we knew he was on Degrassi, and we thought it was kind of like corny that some actor was going to
be a rapper,
try to rap. Yeah. So we were kind of giving him a hard time. This audio is online. You can check it out. But it's like people called up and said he sounds like Bow Wow, like dissing him and stuff. And that's like one of the most memorable things from there. But yeah, so like you got to understand every day.
It's a new interview.
People will come in and out of there. Yeah. And you just, it's kind of like everything flows into the next day. And yeah, man. But hey, I'm sure BG was a great guy. I don't remember anything bad about him. So,
but hey, man, you still gave me a great story with that Drake thing, because it's crazy just to hear that people were saying all that. But I mean, that's true, because when you think about it, he was coming from Degrassi. Nobody expected him to go on the run that he eventually went on to this day. So I appreciate that story. Let's get into Sway, like just how it's been working with Sway. What are some of your most memorable interviews in the Sway's universe, Sway in the Morning Show? Were you there for that Kanye incident that day where he was talking about, you don't have the answer, Sway?
Yep, I've been there for pretty much every interview. So definitely was there that day. That was definitely a memorable interview. Chris Brown, memorable interview. Anytime we have any kind of director on, or we actually had Harvey Weinstein on, we've had like Quentin Tarantino, Spike Lee. I love any people from like the 80s and 90s, especially like movie stars or TV stars, because that's
your stuff.
My favorite stuff. You know what I mean? Or any, like we had David Lee Roth from Van Halen on, like all that, dog. Like that's like my favorite stuff. Yeah. That's but, I don't know if anything in particular that you've seen or what you want to know about, but because like I said, it all runs together.
Yeah, it all runs together.
It's just like a day of work for me, honestly. Really? Every day.
No, for sure. I just was curious, just was like the vibe of just that entire Kanye day. Just that was it as hostile as it seemed on camera in the building from your perspective?
It was weird. I mean, most people when they come up to the radio show, they'll have like bodyguards or like their handlers or whatever with them. And he did have a not he had a lot of people with him, but mostly just like record reps. And it was just a weird vibe as soon as he walked in. I don't know what he was going through at the time or like what it was. It definitely brought some kind of energy with him.
Yeah.
And the record reps were scared to tell him to do things. I needed to go. I was going to do a freestyle with him. So I needed to get on the turntables. And at the time, you had to walk behind where the artists were sitting. So I had to walk behind him, and the reps tried to stop me, saying he's going to get crazy if somebody walks behind him and all this. They're like really nervous. I'm like, whatever, man, I'm on the air. We got to go. So I did it anyway. I had to get past. So whatever. But I thought it was a very interesting interview. And nothing afterwards. Everything was cool, man. Sway, you know, that he's very positive, and
he keeps it professional.
I think he was able to bring it back. If there was any kind of negative thing to happen, he definitely brought it back by the end of the interview, and they were cool. So I think it's all good. But definitely a highlight,
yeah,
of my career. Just for the interview itself, I think it was a good interview outside of the hype of whatever.
Yeah, most people, definitely. It was
and
a
the,
moment.
And the taglines.
It was,
you know what I mean, that everybody quotes.
Yeah.
Besides that, it was just a good interview.
For sure, 100%. Well, speaking of that, you said freestyle, y'all have had some of the most memorable Five Fingers of Death. What are some of the ones that stick out to you that just that you thought were like, man, these are some dope freestyles?
Well, you can kind of like type in Five Fingers of Death on YouTube and sort them by like views or whatever. You'll see what everybody thinks is the most interesting ones. I guess it was like Papoose and Childish Gambino, Kendrick Lamar and Schoolboy Q, all kinds of folks, man. Riff Raff is one of my favorites.
Really?
Let's see. I mean, in the early days, Five Fingers of Death started, like Sway and I came up with that as kind of like a challenge to MCs. And this was back when, I guess, MCs were really willing to come up there and freestyle.
They're really
and stuff.
Willing
like
to spit.
Yeah, it's a lot harder now, but so it was a challenge. And like when they would post it on WorldStar, like all of the or YouTube, like the commenters would be like, yo, why are the beats so whack? Why don't they go together? That was the whole point of it. It started as like kind of like an Olympics, like a rap Olympics for these people, because it would be like five different genres and five different tempos. We'd start with like a regular hip hop beat to get them warmed up, like a 90 BPM joint that they could just warm up to. Then it would go to a straight like trap, like EDM trap beat, like a 70 BPM joint or something like that.
Okay.
Then it would go up. Then it would go up to like a house BPM beat, like 128 or 130 or something like that. Then it would go to, I would usually throw on like a rock joint or like a heavy metal joint or something like Metallica or something like that. And then finish off with like soft rock or like a adult contemporary song from the 80s that had like a nice instrumental I could loop up. So it was all over the place and they were supposed to adjust to it. And I think the people that did that the best, definitely Papoose has one of the best ones. Like he kept flowing the whole time and switched up his flow and never stopped saying like, yo, what's up? Why are you switching the beat up? Like he just kept going no matter what.
Real.
So anybody that did that was definitely my favorite. Now it's pretty much a smooth transition between everything and like every instrumental.
Yeah.
And they all kind of are the same tempo, but and it's kind of more of just like an exhibition of the MCs being able to spit a verse, either pre-written or freestyle. Like who knows anymore, but it's still fun. It's dope. You get to hear them over different beats. But before, when they really had to work for it, that was like my favorite time for the segment.
100%. Well, I want to go into some of the other things you've created before we get into some hip hop conversation. So you created Morris Days, this mixtape, and it was real dope. You've had Ray and Ghost on there. You had Pastor Troy and Flocka. You had Pun and Joe. Just talk about creating that tape and what was that like?
Oh, man, that was a while ago. That was kind of like most of the stuff that I've put out, you can go to soundcloud.com/DJWonderBeats if you want to check out my stuff.
Yeah, make sure you go get that, guys.
Anytime like I was putting something together, most of the time it was – like club music, it wasn't really like, I mean, everything I do is hip hop influence, but when I produced a lot of that stuff, it's more up tempo, like kind of like Baltimore club influence or just club in general. And I don't know, man, just weird stuff that stuck out to me. I always keep in a separate folder and I try to make stuff out of it. So that one was, it was cool. It was kind of like my foray into production and putting stuff out there. And also my intro to knowing that people don't want to post your stuff and you'll never get press, that kind of stuff too. So it was a very learning experience, really, man. But
it was getting your feet wet.
Yeah. Yep, definitely.
100%. Talk about your partnership with Fool's Gold Record and just Animal Status, and what's the future of that?
So Fool's Gold, they're good dudes, Nick Cash Dubs and A-Track, and I put out a EP through them called Belief in the Occult, which was some really like weirdo experimental stuff that I was doing. And yeah, I just advise people to just check it out. I can't really describe it.
No, yeah, it's a vibe. Like 100%, yeah. It is a vibe.
I think they released it around Halloween. I mean, it was done way before that, but they put it out just because of the, like, my whole vibe is like horror movie and 80s and 90s and stuff. And it's kind of like that whole vibe for sure. I play parties for Fool's Gold all the time, and I play their records all the time because I like what the people that they sign and the kind of records that they're into. So we have a great relationship. I'm not like signed to them or anything like that. We're just cool. As far as Animal Status, that started as a DJ collective, just myself and DB, who's on Sway in the Morning as well. It's really DB if you want to check him out on social media. And we would just always go out and party and wild out. And that's where the name Animal Status came from, just us being crazy. And from there, I kind of named my radio show that. When I needed a name, it was just, you know, it was a logical choice just to call it that, because that's what I was using anyway.
Word.
And yeah, man, that's just kind of the radio show still going on Shade 45 every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. on Sirius XM. And it's a mix of kind of like, it allows me to play whatever I want to play or like what I'm feeling. It's way different than the morning show mix. The morning show has to be kind of like up-tempo. It's like what you want to hear when you're driving to work. I mean, I always throw some weird stuff in there, but it's all kind of like up-tempo stuff. You don't want to fall asleep while you're sitting in your car or at your desk or wherever you're at.
Yeah, so, there's a specific format to it.
Yep. And at nighttime, it's way different. It's a lot more dark. There's like samples from movies and stuff. I'll play different genres that you'll never hear on Shade 45 or probably on any hip hop mix show, anywhere. So it gives me a lot more freedom.
That's what's up.
I love that show.
That's what's up, yeah. Man. Yeah, and I definitely really enjoy that show because, like you said, it allows you to see your personality and allows you to have a lot of creative freedoms with it. Another show I wanted to talk about that you created was this terrible web series, a spoof on TRL. Just talk about that for a brief second, and what made you decide to create that?
Let's see, man. My life is basically like, I grew up wanting to be on MTV. I mean, my fondest memories growing up all revolve around MTV, whether it was seeing the making of Thriller, Michael Jackson's Thriller, and being scared as a kid from that video, or like growing up seeing The Real World or like MTV Beach House, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like any of this MTV Spring Break, it all kind of like influenced my life probably more than anything else. I mean, besides Jesus, of course, I love you, Lord. MTV is a big part of me. So it was always my kind of like dream to be on MTV in some capacity. I tried out for like a VJ competition when I was mad young, like standing in line doing that. And it never quite happened. I mean, I was able to be on MTV when Sway brought me over to do some episodes of Rap Fix, which were on MTV Jams and also online on MTV. So that was cool. But TRL just always held a place in my heart, man. That was one thing I always wanted to do. So when I heard that they were like rebooting it, I was kind of like excited just to check it out and see what they're going to do. But I was also pissed off, like, because don't mess with my memories.
Yeah, don't kill the classics.
Yeah, man. So as it started, I just decided, man, F it. They're not going to let me on because I'm not in the demo of these kids, man. They want like YouTube stars, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
they want the Vine stars. Like,
yeah, exactly. So I'm not going to be on this joint. So I figured I'll make my own version of it and play the videos that I would want to see and do it in the format that I think is palatable to today's people, which is like ADD style.
Facts.
so I just started putting up like stupid little things like myself. I would go around and interview people in the office at Sirius or just in my house, just dumb stuff. And then I would put music videos in between, like 15 seconds of it, whatever an Instagram story length is. I put that in between the interviews. Eventually, I started doing like real interviews with people, or going out and doing to events and stuff like that, and taking real interviews with people, and then kind of like stepping up the production value. I edit everything myself and do it all myself. If I could shoot it myself, I would do that too, because nobody ever wants to go out and shoot the damn thing with me. So it's like, if I could do everything myself, I would. But yeah, man. So it's kind of all in-house, and it's just kind of like my vision of what it would be if I was on MTV, I guess, in the
heyday.
Golden age. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Real. That's what's up, man. I literally watched every episode tonight, so I definitely enjoy that little series that you do, man. It's pretty dope.
Thanks. You can check it out at djwonder.com/terrible if you want to watch all the episodes. They're all archived there. And if you want to see it every week, it's on at DJ Wonder on Instagram on Thursdays.
100%.
Put them up.
Well, now I want to get into, because we touched on the business, I want to get into some of the things that you like on the side that's outside of music, outside of radio, outside of work. And you said you're really big into 90s and 80s horror movies, just big into the movies. So what are some of your favorite movies and some of your favorite directors?
My favorite movie of all time is Scream. And I'm a film student, so people think that's crazy, but that's what I like. I like cheesy, like any kind of like late night comedy, like movies like that. That's my favorite stuff. I'm not into like cinema, okay, like people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Scream is my favorite movie. Wes Craven is my favorite director for sure. I also like Nightmare on Elm Street 1. I like Purple Rain is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Great. any like John Hughes movies are my favorite. Like Weird Science is one of my favorites, even though that's not the typical John Hughes movie. Anything, Goonies is one of my favorites of all time for sure.
Classic.
Anything that has like an adventure vibe. Like, I mean, when Stranger Things was relaunched, I kind of like that. I'm not too much of a science fiction kind of person. I'm more of like an adventure kind of like kid kind of going on an adventure kind of thing.
Okay.
That's like my favorite type. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, for sure.
And if horror could be thrown in as well, then that's great.
So then I have a question. Are you big into Spielberg then, being that Spielberg is the adventure guy? But I understand, because you said you're not big into sci-fi, so Spielberg does jump into sci-fi sometimes, but he is that adventure guy. So are you a big Spielberg guy?
Yeah, it's not my favorite stuff. It seemed a little more too polished for me growing
sure.
up. But yeah, I mean, obviously mad movies that he's done that I love. Just not my favorite director.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's up. I'm glad we got a little flavor of your movies. I want to talk about hip-hop right now, because I want to talk about a conversation that's going on in hip-hop. What is your opinion of today's era of hip-hop, and how do you feel just about the entire situation that's going on between the youth and the old? And I know y'all have conversations about that at Sway in the morning all the time, but I just want to get your thoughts on hip-hop today.
I don't know, man. I don't really listen to hip-hop too much anymore. I do it for work. It's kind of like a job, but I still like it. I'm just more moved by production, and that's always been the case. Like, I've always been a production person, not so much lyrics.
Okay.
I could never really, like, memorize lyrics of songs. Like, I don't know how people do that. Like, I was always just, like, a beat person.
Okay.
So that's what I look forward to, is I'll scan through new albums. I listen to every new album that comes out, but I'll only pick maybe two or three songs, honestly, that I can either play or that I like. But I look forward to seeing new types of production and like what people are doing.
Real. Well, then talk about something.
There's always going to be like,
oh, my bad. Not, I didn't mean to.
There's always going to be good. What's up?
No, I said my bad. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no problem. There's always going to be good and bad, I guess, for every era of music. There's always going to be kids that are like doing traditional like hip hop, I guess, if that's what's considered good. And having like traditional hip hop format, like song structure and using samples and scratches and their beats and stuff. And I like that. I think some of the other like futuristic stuff that people are doing is interesting. Like, when XXXTentacion came out, I thought it was kind of cool that he was incorporating like, punk and like metal stuff into his, songs. I think that's an interesting way to go. I kind of feel like we're in a new metal. Like, most people think we're in like a hair metal version of hip hop right now. And that, I think that kind of started way back in like 2004 with like Little John and the South, and then ending up dominating national radio, not just down South. You had to hear it everywhere. I feel like that kind of has taken us to where we're at now. I feel like that was kind of like the hair metal era of hip hop, in that it's very plasticky and in the moment, like, you know, like D4L, like Snap Music and all that stuff, and then transitioning into like Lil Wayne and that sound. But now we're in kind of like a new metal like version of it with all these dudes like Trippy Red and all these dudes thinking that they're rock stars, Uzi.
Yeah.
And like, it's kind of like a screamo emo vibe that I'm getting from them. So who knows where it's going next? Who knows if maybe we'll just have different genres like we have in every other, I mean, subgenres like we have in every other genre of music, where there it's country, you have like outlaw country, you have pop country, you have, you know what I'm saying, all that stuff, or rock the same way, you have alternative, you have punk. Maybe hip hop will finally have all the subgenres that I think it deserves. Yeah.
100%. 100%. Well, I don't want to take too much of your time. I just want one final question, and that is, if you have any advice to somebody trying to get into the game, not as a rapper, but as a guy that wants to be a producer, that is a guy that wants to get into radio, as a guy that's trying to just get into the entertainment industry in the behind the scenes aspect, what's your advice to them?
I think you're living in a great time. I wish I was just starting kind of like in this era, because you have the ability to do everything that you could possibly want in like within a laptop or within your house. If you know what I mean? And you don't even have to pay that much for whether you're cracking software or whatever you're doing.
100%. Whatever you gotta do to get it. I can speak to that, because that is exactly what I'm doing right now.
Well, you know, you might not want to put that out there, guy, but it's okay.
No, I'm just joking. But
I know. But yeah, for real, I wish I was coming up now, because man, I wish when I was a kid, I feel like, man, I wish I could be a DJ. All I have to do is go into some software and I could really like make blends and stuff inside of my computer, or I could make beats. That's so crazy, man. I wish I could have made beats growing up. So it's really within your power to take yourself to the next level, and you have to do it yourself. You have to be passionate about it. I feel like you have to learn the history of whatever you want to do. You can't just like, you can jump into it and kind of mess around, but until you know about the foundation of whatever you want to do, whether it's directing, whether it's being a producer, whether it's radio, you're not going to really fully grasp it or be the best that you can be. But you need to do everything yourself, make a name for yourself, and give people a reason to want to hire you. Nobody wants to hire somebody and teach them anything anymore. You should already have that done. If you're going for an interview for an internship, make sure you study that whatever show or whatever you're going for an internship for, make sure you know everything about that show. So if they ask you a question, you're like, oh, this is my favorite interview, it was the Kanye interview, or this is my favorite interview, it was last week, da da da. That's going to make put you above any other candidate if you're trying to get in the door. Also, start a podcast, start a YouTube channel, make sure your Instagram account is popping, whatever, if that's important to you, because you need to have value. And I know it's hard, because everybody has access to any piece of equipment now. You don't need a 35 millimeter camera. You don't need anything that professional equipment anymore. You don't even need a recording studio. You can do it in your bedroom. So it makes a lot more people trying to do the same thing. But if you really go at it and make quality work and study the foundation, you're going to take your stuff to the next level, and it's going to stand out. So it's a great time to try to achieve your dreams and get in the door. And you can also reach out to people, which you could never do before. I wish I could have reached out. Like, I really sent Spike Lee about 5 to 10 cover letters for an internship via regular mail, and I never know if it got to him or not. There wasn't even a phone number I could call to try to see if it got to him.
Real.
Or, you know what I mean? Like,
and it's crazy. Like, you could just tweet at him.
Yeah, and you may get a response from a celebrity. It's crazy. Like, online. If I was a kid, knowing that, that's nuts. I mean, DJ Camillo emailed me when I was first coming up back in Delaware. I'm like, wow, man, this guy, he was on, he wasn't on High 97, I don't even think at the time. I think he was on like 88 Hip Hop, which was like a streaming hip hop channel back in the day. And I was so excited about that. So, man, reach out. Don't be annoying. There's a thin line between being annoying and being persistent. So make sure you tiptoe on that line, and just make sure you have something to back it up if you do finally get the opportunity to talk to somebody that could take you to the next level.
100%. I thank you so much, DJ Wonder, for coming on our show. I appreciate it. And like I said, I'm honored to have you. Tell the people where they can find you on social media. Plug all your stuff and tell them where they can get the music, where they can find all the shows, and just where they can get all DJ Wonder's content.
All right, cool. Definitely check out Sway in the Morning, which is Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to noon Eastern time. And that's on SiriusXM, Shade 45. If you don't have a subscription, which I know a lot of people are getting into, you can go to SiriusXM.com/free trial and you could get a free trial and listen to us, see if it's worthwhile, see if you like what we're doing. Also, you can go to DJWonder.com. That's kind of like the home base for me. It has everything there, all my mixes and terrible episodes and everything else. So everything is on DJWonder.com. Social media is at DJ Wonder. That's everything. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, all at DJ Wonder. And SoundCloud, SoundCloud.com/DJWonderBeats. Awesome. And that's about it.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, man. And I go by the name of Lyndon Burton. You can follow me at Berlin the Don on Instagram, at Berlin the Don on Twitter. Follow the Bros Who Think podcast on Twitter, at Bros Who Think. And I want to thank DJ Wonder once again for coming on the Bros Who Think podcast. Again, I go by the name of Lyndon Burton. We are the Bros Who Think podcast. Enjoy your weekend and have a great week. Peace. Try, 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 try